by the Wizard of Weird. This is Strange Things with Joshua P. Warren.
I am Joshua P. Warren, and each week on this show, I'll be bringing you brand new, mind-blowing content, news exercises, and weird experiments you can do at home, and a lot more. On this edition of the show, I invented my first wishing machine. I've never done that before. Amazingly, a lot of you are going to be surprised to hear that. But I have created the official one and only Joshua P. Warren wishing machine. People, they think that I create wishing machines, or I created the wishing machine, because I've been talking about wishing machines for 35 years. I discovered this technology, and I believe it is a technology, when I was a teenager. Started studying it and talking about it. And then I finally bought my first machine from a man in California when I was in my early 20s. And since then, you know, my interest in them has just grown and grown. And I've talked about them a lot, and I've provided access to them, but I've never actually sat down and built my own machine. And now that I've done this, I am going to explain to you why I did it, and how it works. There's nothing hidden here. Everything is transparent. And I mean, really, we don't know exactly how these things work, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I have in mind for why this thing works, in my opinion. And then how powerful it is. My goal was to create something that was extremely simple to use, that solves all the problems that I've heard about from people who've used wishing machines, traditional ones, over the years. Also, something that is portable, small, something that is easy to travel with. I mean, I'm talking about this machine that looks different than any machine you've ever seen. It is about 3 inches in diameter. And yes, I say inches because it's circular, it's round. If you want to see what this thing looks like right now as you listen to the show, go to JPW, those are my initials, JPWMachine.com, JPWMachine.com, and it will help you to look at the pictures, and there's a video there as well, so that as I explain in detail what I've created here, this will make more sense. And, you know, when it comes to this idea that there are people who think that I created the wishing machine, well, these types of devices, as we know them, they originated with a doctor named Albert Abrams, who was born in 1863 and died in 1924. And he was a very well-known physician. Born in California, died in California. And he was trying to create these machines in order to heal people. And of course, he got into a lot of trouble for that, because to this day, I mean, any attempt made to heal somebody that is not strictly embraced by the latest scientific medical community is frowned upon, considered quackery. But that's what he was trying to do. Now, whether or not it worked for some people is beside the point, because even after he died, people started experimenting with these devices, and they realized that it has many, many uses as a psychological tool. Maybe it's the world's greatest placebo. Whatever happens, whatever makes it work, as long as it works, it seems fine with me. But this whole branch, you know, wishing machines deriving from radionics, it's really under a much larger umbrella called psionics. And psionics is really all about mind machines. And what I mean by that are devices, tools, physical tools that sort of help you to achieve what you want. They, in some form, interface with your consciousness, with your attention, with your focus, and they help you, even if it's only psychologically, to transmit whatever energy is needed in order for you to create and manifest positive things. And hopefully positive things. We do know there are people who use them to do negative stuff, but these are mind machines. You're the person in control. And you could argue that psionics, being mind machines, goes all the way back thousands of years to very organic things like, well, you know, a magic wand or a crystal ball, but also religious items that are revered to this day. I would argue that to this day, if you wear a necklace that has a religious symbol on it, that is a psionic device. That is a version of a wishing machine. And I say that because this is a physical item that you are using as a tool to symbolize your focus. And you might say, well, this is not for me. This is to symbolize to other people something about me. Fine. It's still serving a purpose by interfacing with that other person's mind. That's what these things are. They're tools. If you take a wishing machine or a similar device, but let's just stick with wishing machines. If you take a wishing machine and you put it in the middle of the desert all by itself, it's worthless. It does nothing. It sits there and does nothing. Unless at some point a human has come into contact with it. And maybe a human could charge it, store some memories within it. Maybe that would work. But if no human ever comes into contact with that machine, the machine is meaningless. You connect it with a person, however, the machine, you could argue, is still to some degree secondary in the whole process, because it's really all about helping the person envision what he or she wants to manifest. And it's a tool for that. And I've often said it's kind of like walking from town to town. You have two legs that God gave you, and if you want to, then yeah, you can get up and you can throw your knapsack over your back and you can walk to the other town in a couple days, maybe. Or you can get on a bicycle. Very, very simple thing. And you can maybe be there in an hour or two or whatever. Now, is the bicycle worth anything without you riding it? No. It's just a machine that sits there and does nothing. When you get on top of it, does it become some type of nefarious device that you're tapping into? No, it's a tool. It's a tool that was put there to help you. And if you want to know more about sort of the history of radionics and psionics and all that kind of stuff, I'm not going to dig into that on this show. You have to, here's something that you can do though. If you go to jpwmachine.com and you end up on the page there for my brand new official Joshua P. Warren wishing machine, you'll see in the description, there's a link at some point that says for FAQ on wishing machines in general, click here. Cause there are many different types of wishing machines, and I'm proving that right now by inventing my own. But a lot of the general guidelines and rules apply not just to wishing machines, but to manifestation devices in general. So go to that FAQ. You'll find answers to a lot of questions. You'll find fantastic movies there, hours worth of content. And that's all I can offer you if you have questions about how, you know, sort of the history of this and some thoughts on how it works. So let me tell you why that I decided to create the new Joshua P. Warren wishing machine. Because, you know, for one thing, it's true that when I was a younger man, I used to build things all the time. And occasionally I still do. I mean, last year, I built a device called the Psionatron to open a portal on my property next to Area 51. So I still build things from time to time. But I never built a wishing machine because I always felt like it helped me to have some mystery there, because usually there's a circuit inside of a wishing machine that doesn't make a lot of sense, and it's glued or sealed in this box, and you don't open the box, and that sense of mystery helps you. But as I've gotten older and I've learned more about how these things work, I've decided that, you know what? I think that transparency might be more powerful. And so I sat down and I said, okay, I'm going to know every nook and cranny of this thing. Let's see if that makes it more or less powerful. And lo and behold, it made it much more powerful. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you specifically why I made this. I'm going to tell you about each one of the components. I'm going to break down for you different ways it could be used. And give you sort of, I'm taking what I've learned over the past 35 years, and I'm going to try to condense it down for you best I can and explain to you why I created the official one and only Joshua P. Warren wishing machine. And you know what? If you like this show, let me tell you, there's only so much time I have to talk about things. So I highly recommend you sign up for my free and spam-free e-newsletter. It takes you 2 seconds. Go to joshuapwarren.com. Right there on the homepage, you'll find a place where you can put your email address in there, hit submit. When you do that, you will instantly receive an email from me, an automated email with some free online gifts that can help you start making your life more magical today. And there are many different ways to manifest positive, wonderful, miraculous blessings in your life. And this is just one of them that I'm going to tell you about when we come back. I've got it sitting right here next to me. At least during the break, go look at this thing. JoshuaPWarren.com has a curiosity shop. There's a link there as well. I am Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I will be right back. To Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, beaming into your wormhole brain from my studio in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, where every day is golden and every night is silver. Agitato Zume! And you have to understand, over the years, I have acquired and experimented with every kind of wishing machine you can imagine, starting with the one I bought when I was a teenager. All over the world, I have collected and purchased. There's no telling the money I've spent on these machines, studying them, seeing how they work in different ways. And of course, for many years, I have worked with Dr. Brad Mulder on the Wishing Machine Project. And the arrangement that we had was that Dr. Mulder would build these machines, and then I would go out there and educate people about them. We would make them available, and then we would keep track of feedback and experiences and try to learn more and more about how they work. And Dr. Mulder is probably the most prolific maker of wishing machines in the world. And Brad, because, you know, he's been a great friend for so long, I'll just call him Brad. He is one of the most ambitious, motivated people I've ever met. So he'll build something, and then he just can't stand it. He has to keep on improving it. Now he has the 2.0. Now he has the next version. Now he just keeps coming out. He has a whole line of these things. And I had them all, and I love them all. And he and I have worked together on creating machine designs, for example, the Apex machine. But he has always made them. And I realized at a certain point that, you know, if you are somebody like me who likes to experiment with all kinds of psionic devices, then it's great to always have some new version coming out, you know, some new twist, some new advanced 2.0. Now this one's, here's one that hooks it to a computer. Now here's one that has a special antenna. I mean, that's wonderful. You can continue expanding your experimental adventure. But most people out there are not like that. The average person out there would like to buy one thing that's simple, that works, and then that's it. You don't need a 2.0. And that's the thing about what I've created. There will not be a 2.0. There is not going to be a better version of it. This is the version that's simple, that works, that you will use the rest of your life. This is the version that you will be happy with. So don't worry about getting this from me and then having me turn around and say, oh, now I've come up with a new one. No, this is it. It works. What more can you ask for? And it works quickly. And I'm going to tell you why I created it and why I believe so much in it. Now, for one thing, I must say, if you listen to me, you know that I make it very clear. I am not a doctor. I have no medical advice to give you. If anything, I am creeped out by the medical field. I don't even like thinking about medical. So do not take anything that I give you as medical advice, even though the story I'm going to tell you has to do with something that happened to me health-wise. You may or may not know that I recently took a two-week trip out of the country. And I'll tell you more about that trip on a future show when I have more details to share with you. But at some point during that two-week trip, I picked up a terrible bug. And when I got back home to my house here in Las Vegas, I was already getting sick, but I didn't know how bad it was going to get. It started as an upper respiratory kind of thing, and eventually it gradually turned into pneumonia. And it got worse and worse, and I could feel it in my chest. I started getting the death rattle. And I was just trying to sleep it off because I didn't realize how bad it was getting. And so one afternoon, actually, I was trying to sleep this off. I was lying there in bed. I think it was afternoon. Maybe it was the morning. Anyway, I was lying there in bed by myself. Lauren was downstairs, and I was feeling just horrible. You know, having nightmares and everything. And then all of a sudden the house started shaking. There was a freaking earthquake. Yeah, here in Las Vegas, there was an earthquake. It was in the news, of course. 4 point something, but it was enough to rattle. And I got up after that earthquake. And I walked downstairs to Lauren. And I said, I think I need to go to urgent care. The last thing I wanted to do was to even get dressed. So we went to urgent care, and they said, it's a good thing you came here. They gave me a whole bag of drugs, but they gave me some extremely strong antibiotics. And those antibiotics started just tearing my stomach to pieces, just making me feel nauseated. It was like I was not feeling better, but once you start taking antibiotics, you have to keep them. So I had reached a very, very low point. Where I kind of thought to myself, all I want to do is go and lay in bed. But I had a bunch of components, because you know I have my own laboratory here and my own workshop. I had a bunch of components, and I'd been thinking for years about a design for a very simple wishing machine that would refine it and condense it right down to the best of everything, the simplest, most powerful aspects of a wishing machine for the average person, you know, something that I could put together with my own hands in a weakened state even, and that would help me pull myself through this. So I sat down, and a few hours later I had this, and I started improving so quickly after I created this device and started using it that within days, I was not only going out and living like a normal person again, but I even went to a movie theater and watched a movie with Lauren at a casino and then walked out of the casino, walked out of the theater and then hit a jackpot. And I had programmed, if you want to call it that, the machine. I programmed the machine to do that for me as well. And since then, I have been using this thing every day, and it's the only one I've been using. I haven't been using any of my other manifestation devices. Only this. So let me tell you sort of why I built it the way I built it. This is the official one and only, the final, the Joshua P. Warren wishing machine. And it starts with a clear 3-inch disc as the base. But maybe I should say it really starts with your wish. That's the first thing. You should take your wish and you should write it or print it on a piece of paper about the size of a post-it note. In fact, or a sticky note of some kind. That's what I use just for convenience. Take a sticky note, and here's what you write. You start at the top, and you write, God, I am. Those are your first three words. Now, you might stop me right there and say, whoa, God? What if I don't believe in God? Well, let me just tell you, if you don't believe in God, then I suggest you start. Because something created all of this, and I've concluded that. And if you've reached a different conclusion, then maybe this product is not for you. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I am capable of comprehending what God is. I am not. Maybe you are, but I'm not. I'm not going to tell you what God is, but I'm going to tell you there is a creator. You know, the man-made object that is farthest from Earth is a spacecraft called Voyager 1, launched by NASA in 1977. It's now billions of miles away from Earth, still sending signals back. And that thing has not encountered anything out there like this pale blue dot called Earth. Not to mention you sitting around there eating your Doritos and watching TV and messing around on the internet. Look, something created all this, and that creator very well works through evolution. Evolution is a part of the creator's process. The two are compatible. They're not mutually exclusive. You can't be like, no, I don't believe in God. I just believe in evolution. God, whatever God is, obviously works through natural processes, including evolution. When you use that word God, you are acknowledging that there is a creative power there that is going to help you. And when you put I am, you are acknowledging that you are a part of that creation. And that you are going to work with that creative energy. And that is the source of your power here with this mind machine. So you write, God, I am. And then after that, you write whatever you want. For example, you could put, God, I am going to feel great tomorrow. God, I am going to pay my bills this month. You can word it however you want to, all right? You word it however you want to, but you have to start, in my opinion, with God, I am. Now, the next component here, which I think gets into the very interesting part of the natural interface, is what's on the bottom. You know, wishing machines have what's called an input plate. Well, the input plate on this is on the bottom. So you just put the machine on top of your piece of paper with the wish. The input plate is a piezoelectric disc that turns vibrations into electromagnetic signals. And I know all about these because, well, for one thing, I studied a lot when I was doing my work on the Brown Mountain Lights in Asheville, North Carolina. I'll tell you more about how I think this thing works when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I'll be back after these important messages. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is the show where the unusual becomes usual. When I was studying the Brown Mountain Lights of Western North Carolina, this is a mountain in the middle of the Pisgah National Forest that produces these big glowing balls of light that float all around it. I learned a lot about piezoelectricity, that when you apply stress to certain, well, really all rocks, but especially something like a quartz crystal, that will produce an electric current. And vice versa, if you apply an electric current to a rock or a quartz crystal, it will vibrate. That's called piezoelectricity. And for many years, engineers have used these little discs that are called piezoelectric discs. They're about the size of, a nickel here in the U.S. Well, actually, they come in different sizes. The one I'm looking at right now is about the size of a nickel. And they're made from a special type of ceramic where they take clay and silica and they really fire it up. And they create a highly sensitive piezoelectric tuner. And it's got a wire. The one I have has a red wire and a black wire coming out of it. Now, if you take something like a little LED light and you hook it to those wires, all you have to do is press that little button, the little LED, the little piezoelectric disc, and it lights up the LED to prove to you that any type of vibration that's hitting this little disc, this piezoelectric disc, is producing electric current and electromagnetic transmission. So this is our input plate on the bottom. It's literally a piezoelectric disc that picks up vibrations. And these two wires that are coming out of it don't plug into anything. They don't hook into anything. They're just antennas. Because the idea is that whatever vibration, no matter how small, no matter how microscopic, whatever vibration hits that little disc is going to make that disc vibrate, and it's going to translate that or transduce that into electrical output signal. That's on the bottom of our clear plastic disc. On top of that goes what I call the floating tuner. This is a completely separate, disconnected piece. And it's about the size of, maybe a half dollar. And it's made of glass. And it has a magnet in the middle. And it has a quartz crystal, a natural quartz crystal on top. I call it a floating tuner just because it's not attached to anything. It doesn't literally float. And when you put the floating tuner down on top of the machine, it almost acts like, it's sort of like the tuner on a regular wishing machine, and you can spin this thing. If you want to, you can take it and you can just really give it a little fine-tuned adjustment, or I like to just spin it. And as often as possible throughout the day, I see this thing and I go over and I give it a spin. Because, you know, every day, all day, the world is changing. Conditions are changing. Variables are changing. And with a traditional wishing machine, you just tune it and you let it sit there and you leave it alone. And there's something to be said for that. But this works a little differently because this is very flexible. It's meant to adapt to the changing circumstances of the world, which is changing very quickly, as you know, every day, all throughout the day. So here we have a disc on the bottom that's picking up the vibrations that you put into your wish and transmitting that. And then we have something you put your hands on top of it, that has a magnetic field and a quartz crystal. And the when you tune this, it's fun to play with, but what makes it especially interesting is the whole thing has a ring of compasses around it. So that when you move your floating tuner, which reminds me of like a planchette of something or some kind, when you move your floating tuner, you can see the compasses move. So this shows you that it's doing something. These compasses are there to illustrate that something is happening. So we know something is happening very physically when we put pressure on the disc and it produces enough electricity to light up an LED bulb. But then we also see something is happening when we put the floating tuner on top and we are able to see how the magnetic field is affecting the world around it via the compasses. And all of this adds up to a very interesting connection, an interface between the world of physical and quantum science and psychology and even art, you could say. And I believe that that is the most powerful combination that you can use in order to fire up the neurons, to get those synapses going, I should say, so that you are in full-blown, high-powered, turbo manifestation mode. You don't have to sit around and fiddle with it if you don't want to. You don't have to say, I can't get a stick. Maybe this isn't working for me. Everything here is very clear and transparent, and I've described for you the concept behind how and why it works. Anybody can use this. A child can use this. I'm using it, and I'll be 50 years old here soon. And this is, you know, again, I'm a guy who's been experimenting with these things for 35 years. You can go out there and you can spend a lot of money if you want to, and you can buy something that's much more complicated. This is affordable. It's small. It's portable. It's super simple to use. And it's extremely powerful. And if you buy this, then I don't think you're ever going to need another type of wishing machine. You'll probably say this works well enough for me. Now you might buy more of these because you should only use them for one wish at a time, but I think you'll be so satisfied that if you get one of these, that'll be it. So let me just recap here for a second how you use this thing. The piezoelectric disc on the bottom transforms vibrations into electromagnetic signals. The wires are antennas, and they do not connect to anything. Write the words God I am on a piece of paper the size of a sticky note. You can also print it. Doesn't matter. Then write or print your wish below it in one sentence. Word it however you like. Place the device on top of your wish. The floating tuner is not connected to anything. It doesn't literally float, but it spins smoothly on the surface. It contains a magnet and a quartz crystal. Place it in the middle and spin it as often as possible every day until your wish comes true. And the compasses are there only to illustrate the forces at work. It's that simple. Now, if you have any hesitation about using a tool like this to help you manifest blessings in your life, I want you to know that it's impossible for you to manifest something bad if your intentions are good when you use this type of thing. I have a loved one, a very close loved one, who has been unemployed for a long time. And I mean like over a year. And I was talking to Dr. Mulder on the telephone recently, and we said, you know what? Let's send him a machine that's made just for him to help him quickly find employment. It's a wonderful thing to do, but it's also a great experiment because I happen to know that this person I'm talking about, it's a man, baby. He said that, he knows all about, he follows my work. He knows about wishing machines and radionics and psionics. He's familiar with this stuff, but he's never used it. So I thought that would make him an even more interesting candidate for an experiment. So I contacted him and I said, hey, got some great news. This is like winning a prize pack. I talked to Dr. Mulder. We're going to send you a machine, a free machine, specifically to help you get employment quickly. And, you know, if nothing else, it'll be an interesting experiment. And he turned it down. And he said that he was afraid that it would interfere with God's plan for him somehow. And I talked to him for a while and tried to understand more of what he meant by that, because I don't see it that way. Here's what it reminds me of. You may remember this parable that I wrote about in my book called Use the Force, the parable of a deeply religious man who lived in a floodplain. Three of his neighbors came over to alert him of a flood there was a flood warning and they wanted to help him pack up and transport him away. And he said, nope, nope, refusing their help. He said, my Lord will save me. And a short while later, as the floodwaters poured in, a sheriff's department truck pulled up with a megaphone begging him to come with them. Nope, nope, the man shouted, I'm fine. My Lord will save me. And later, as the floodwaters rose above his house and he waded into the treacherous streams, a rescue helicopter flew overhead, lowering a ladder. No, he insisted, my Lord will save me. And then he drowned. Minutes later, the man stood wet and weary before St. Peter. And he said to St. Peter, I don't understand. I've been a good, God-fearing man my entire life. Why did the Lord not save me? He asked angrily. Well, let me check on this and see, replied St. Peter. He thumbed through the record and he said, ah, but God tried, you see. He sent you three neighbors, a sheriff's car, and a helicopter. I think the purpose of that parable is to realize that these things, these don't interfere with your relationship with God. These are tools that God is providing through us, his children, to help each other. When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you something about, this concept. I saw the movie Obsession, and I want to tell you my thoughts on that. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, and I will be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of this edition of Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And last night, I went to the theater. I know I've been talking a lot about movies lately, but I'm not a movie critic. But a lot of interesting movies have been coming out lately. And one of them is called Obsession. I went to see it with Lauren last night, and this movie was made for $750,000, and as of right now, it has made, it is grossed or whatever, $370 million. Let me repeat that. The movie was made for $750,000, and it has grossed $370 million. I mean, this is obviously one of the most profitable movies ever made. And made by a young man, 25, 26-year-old man, Curry Barker from Alabama, I think. And let's see. Yeah, Mobile, Alabama. Oh, boy, he must be a happy guy. But here's the reason I wanted to see it, not only because that it's been such a huge hit, but it's about making wishes. And I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but the gist of it is there is a young man who is just, you know, he's got a crush on this girl that he works with, and she's not interested in him. So at some point, he ends up sort of stumbling into this new age shop, the kind of shop that I've been to a million times, where you go in there and you buy your crystals and your sage and your incense, oh, all that stuff. And he finds a product on the wall called a one-wish willow. It's a kind of a little, almost tube-like box. And
Actually, I'm thinking it might be more like a Toblerone chocolate box. Anyway, so the idea, it says that you take out this piece of wood that's inside and you make a wish. You get one wish and one wish only for the rest of your life. And then you snap the wood in half and then the wish will come true. So he takes the piece of wood out, which, by the way, for those of you who live in the southwestern United States, I think that they may have designed this piece of wood based upon what's called cholla wood, C-H-O-L-L-A, which comes from a cactus, cholla wood. Anyway, it's kind of like a honeycomb pattern. So he pulls it out and a little chime plays and then he snaps it in half. After he says, you know, I want this girl to love me more than anybody in the world. Then he snaps it in half and then boom, she's on him. And she is truly obsessed with him, though. And it becomes crazier and crazier how that he begins to regret that he had done this. And maybe by doing this, he had invited some kind of a possessing force to come into this young lady that's making her crazier and crazier, and of course hilarity ensues. Yeah, right. So it's a horror movie, and but it plays up on this whole monkey's paw concept. Like, be careful what you wish for, you might just get it. Like, anything you wish for is going to come at a terrible price. And it goes all the way back to the old stories of leprechauns and stuff like that, where like you make a wish with the leprechaun and the wish will come true, but you're going to pay some severe, terrible price for it that you weren't expecting. And that, you know, it's a cautionary tale. And people, they read stories like that and they watch movies like this and it scares the crap out of them. And they don't want to mess around with little devices and tools and things that are supposed to help you manifest stuff or make wishes come true. But again, I want to reiterate that these are mind machines. That's all fiction, folks. There are no little leprechauns out there who are going to grant your wishes. There's no one wish willow out there. These things that I delve in, and I've been doing this for a long, long time. If your intentions are positive, then it is only possible for you to manifest a positive outcome. That's it. It's impossible for something bad to happen because you are the sole source of power, your mind. And when I went to watch the movie, however, it figured because I was telling Lauren, I already feel like, you know, I'm going to have a connection to this movie because of that concept. And we kind of went there on a whim. It was a late night show. And it was one of the weirdest movie going experiences I've ever had. I almost walked out of the theater. So for one thing, again, being late night, there were very few people in this big theater. So Lauren and I kind of felt like we had pretty much our whole row to ourselves. And then right before the movie started, this couple came in. And of course, they sat down directly next to me. And the woman who sat down directly next to me on my right, Lauren was on my left. I'm glad that she didn't sit next to Lauren because Lauren would have probably ended up punching this woman. This woman sat down to my right. She's very chatty to begin with. Fortunately, she didn't say anything to me. I guess maybe she'd been drinking or something. I don't know. But this is in one of those theaters where you have the recliner seats. So she's reclined back. I'm reclined back, focused straight ahead. And the first thing she does is she just makes herself really at home. And she reaches down. She takes off her shoes and she takes off her socks. And she's got her big, gnarly feet out there like she's lounging next to the swimming pool. All right, fine. Then the movie starts up. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk so much. She's over there cackling. She's commenting to her boyfriend or whatever about everything that's happening. Every time the leading lady appears on the screen and does something, she goes, ah, I love her. Oh, I love her. Then just when I think it can't get any worse, because Lauren is looking at me and I'm looking at Lauren like I'm almost ready to leave this movie just because of this, you know. And the movie is, look, I'm not saying this is a great movie. You know what? It's a pretty good movie. But it was hard for me to enjoy it As if that weren't bad enough, she pulls her cell phone out in the middle of the movie. This woman sitting next to me, screwing around on her cell phone. And and I mean, honestly, there was a point when I said to Lauren, maybe we should just get out of here and I'll just, you know, I'll just tell everybody I watched the first half of this thing and, you know, we'll, but no, I think fortunately, again, like I said, she must have been drinking or something, because as the movie went on, her batteries began to dwindle. And by the time the movie was done, she was asleep. So I don't know if she was passed out drunk or whatever, but it was like, I was sitting there starting to make a wish. I'm watching this movie about wishes, and I'm sitting there like, I wish this woman would shut the... And so, yeah, that finally happened. And but you know what? Of all the places that she could have sat, she sat next to me as I'm trying to watch this movie that I feel I have this, like, almost synchronistic connection to, because there was a lot of stuff in the movie that I can relate to. So that was last night. And I figured I would tell you about that because... it ties into this whole concept of how people perceive wishes. And a lot of people are watching this movie, Obsession, and there are going to be a lot of people who are probably going to have an enormous amount of fear about using manifestation devices, because, you know, it's like, it's no different than people being afraid to get into the water after they watch Jaws. You know, shark attacks like that are very rare, but, you know, for a long time, people would not get into the water. That's just the reality. Well, you know what? I've got a really fascinating email here that was sent to me from a woman who had an amazing experience with something ghostly at the Grove Park Inn in Asheville, North Carolina. And she sent me a picture and everything, but I don't have time to read that email to you. The clock has almost got us. So I'll save that for a future show. In the meantime, how about this? Here's some mental manna for you. What do you think outer space smells like? What do you think outer space smells like? Think about it. Well, here's the answer. Outer space, of course, is a vacuum, so it really has no smell. However, astronauts returning from spacewalks report their suits and equipment smell distinctively like seared steak, hot metal, welding fumes, and gunpowder. And they think it's because that these high energy particles that are kind of like passing through outer space interact with the spacesuit materials and create that kind of a smell. Weird, huh? All right, my friends, you know what time it is. Let's all manifest something positive now. If you can, close your eyes, take a deep breath. Let us listen together. Let us meditate upon the one, the only, the world famous good fortune tone. That's it for this edition of the show. Follow me at Joshua P. Warren. Plus, visit joshuapwarren.com to sign up for my free e-newsletter to receive a free instant gift, and check out the cool stuff in the Curiosity Shop, all at joshuapwarren.com. I have a fun one lined up for you next time, I promise. So please tell all your friends to subscribe to this show and to always remember the golden rule. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your interest and support. Thank you for staying curious. And I will talk to you again soon. You've been listening to Strange Things on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.